Station number 16712, Albert Scatchard, Rail 4.
Mr. Scatchard, read 4. The standard of dress that you had to reach before they allowed you out of camp, Mr. Scatchard, what was that exactly?
Well, you had to be really cleaned up, all polished up, and before you allowed, you used to get your pass, and then report to the guard commander, and there's examine you front and back, turn you around, and if you were fit enough to go out, then they allowed you out. If you weren't, they just sent you back. If your cap wasn't on straight or something like that, they would send you back, and then you'd have to march around the block and come back with your hat on to their satisfaction.
So they're pretty strict with you?
They're very strict on regards to dress before you go out.
When you went out in those early days before the war, what was the attitude of civilians towards the British soldier?
Well, it was so used to us in that area. We didn't get very far. I mean, Blackdown was pretty isolated there, you know. There was no big towns, anything like that.
This was at Fenham, before you get
no, to this Blackdown? This was at Blackdown.
Oh, we'll come to that then next. So that at the end of your, was it 6 months, you said?
6 months at Fenham.
At the end of that, you were then posted to the battalion?
Posted to the battalion, that's right.
And what date would this be?
6 months after April. About October. October, we went down to the battalion.
Did you go by rail?
Went by rail, yes, and we all went down as a squad, and we arrived at Blackdown, and went straight onto stood in front of the guard room. They came out, they inspected us, and then an orderly came out, and there was a fellow come out, and the sergeant major, and he read the names out, and as each name was, as your name was called out, you had to go to the squad that he pointed to, and it was about it was about 50 of us, and we split up into 4 different groups, and he just pointed to each group. A company, B company, C company, D company, and we marched off to those respective billets. And then when we got there, the orderly sergeant came and put us all into a barrack room, and each one was given a bed, a locker, and that's where you get you there. And your rifle and everything go at the back there. Great coat hangs up and all that paraphernalia. And then he just left you to it. And then there was another fella came in. And there was the backroom corporal, really. And he said, right, he says, dinner time. He said, well, because you were marched up for all meals. You didn't just go to the cookhouse yourself and sit down. You were marched up as a company for all meals. And
which company had you been put in place?
The company I was put into was B Company.
I don't think we established which battalion this was.
Pardon?
Which battalion was this, the 1st or 2nd?
To the 1st Battalion, DLI, B Company. And as I say, we went to marched up for dinner. Along to the cookhouse, and were allocated out places, and you had to keep them places all the time you were there. All the time you were in Blackdown Camp, that was your dinner roll, as they called it. And you got your mail, and it was facilities for washing up as you came out. And you had to do your plate, do the your utensils, and you went back to the barrack room, put them away, and then the afternoon, well, all depended on what they had in store for you. You know, any sort of duties.
Was the food much the same as you'd got at Fenham?
Oh, just about, yes. Uh-huh.
And Blackdown Camp itself, can you describe what it looked like?
Well, it was, at that time, it was a pretty, like all army camps, were pretty bleak at the time. And I mean, October was going on, the bad weather, and getting the cold mornings, you know, for PT and things like that. And we really felt it there, like at times.
Barrack blocks, were they similar to Fenham?
Were the buildings? They were almost similar, yes, yes. Yeah.
And you'd have the same activities for keeping it clean?
Oh, yes, yes. They were all kept clean the same way as we had to do, the way we were trained at Fenham to do them. Yes, the back rooms are all polished floors. Your bed space, 6 foot between each bed and everything like that. All military staff.
How many would be in a block?
There was, the company had shared about three different barrack rooms, because there used to be about 62 company, and there used to be about 20 to each individual barrack room.
You'd be joining, of course, men who were quite experienced.
There was experienced soldiers already there.
How did they treat you?
And, well, as usual, rookies. And but anyway, we got on pretty well with them. And they taught us a lot, like, well, we wanted to know, you know, what's that Sergeant Major then, or what's that Corporal there? Don't step out of line with that fella over there, because he's a bad one, you know, all that.
Did you take your rifle with you from Fenham, or were you issued with another one?
No, you issued with a new rifle when you go down to Fenham. A new rifle, yes.
And that would become your rifle for...
That was my rifle all the time I was in. Right up to the time I was captured. Yes. Well, that was your personal property, your sort of style, really.
And, of course, your responsibility to look after it.
You were responsible for looking after it, keeping it clean, immaculate. Yes.
Were the punishments severe for neglecting your weapons?
Well, it was always a 14-day charge. I mean, having a dirty rifle. I mean, you could go out on the range, yeah, and do a fire and... course, come back, clean your rifle, oil it up, and it was already for inspection. You should line it up, you support arms, and if the rifle wasn't to their expectations, you know, nice and bright at the barrel, if you had a bit of smudge in, you know, a bit of flannel left in off the pull through, what you used to pull through to clean it, and if they spotted anything like that, you accused having a dirty rifle. But in your eyes, it was immaculate. But they could spot something, you couldn't see it. And it was an automatic 14 days.
What kind of things would you do if you were 14 days CB?
Well, the 14 days punishment you got was the officers and the married quarters were there. And what you had to do... You used to go on coal fatigue. And you used to carry the big buckets of coal round and issue them to each individual barrack room house, each officer's house. And it was always done on the double. Always do another the double that. And when you finish that, you maybe go into the cookhouse. And you'd be paying spuds there for about an hour or so for the following day. And that went on for 14 days.
Did you get any of these duties, like scrubbing areas with a toothbrush or...
No, there was none of that.
You didn't get anything like that?
No. I think a thing like that was reserved really for the... when you used to get 168 days, you know, and...
That would be more serious crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
What other forms of... what other things could you do that you might get punished for? Other than weaponry, of course.
Oh, you could... having a... well, not having a proper shave while they're on parade. You used to really examine it. And if you hadn't had a proper shave, you know, they turn on the soldiers dirty. We get 7 days for that. Or if your cap badge wasn't in correctly, you used to wear the pink caps, you know, then. And if your cap badge wasn't straight up and down, it was slewed up to one side a bit. And if you had a pretty bad officer, say, this man's improperly dressed. His cap badge is not correct. You should get 7 days for a thing like that, eh? Yeah, it was awful.
So, a very, very strict life.
Oh, yes, it was, really. Uh-huh. Yes.
What was happening to you now? You'd gone through your basic training for 6 months. What were you doing with the battalion down in Blackdown?
Well, we started doing... well, it's just a matter of continuation of what we were doing at Fenham, really. Parades, church parades, and guard duties. Just the usual monthly life. Just carried on as we did at Fenham, really.
Church parades, that presumably they were every Sunday?
Every Sunday, yeah.
Was there a garrison church?
It was a garrison church, yes.
What about people who were in other denominations, who were not church?
Well, if you were a Catholic, and nearly all the churches there, the army churches, are all Protestant. But if you were a Catholic, you still had to go on parade, but you weren't forced to go into the church. You stood outside. But facilities were made as much as possible for those soldiers who were Catholics to go to a Catholic church. And they used to do that every Sunday.
Was there a padre attached to the battalion at this point?
There was a padre attached to every battalion, yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Well, it was always a local preacher, like, you know, that you used to give the sermon and that off. And then the padre, our own padre, would stand up and say a few words. And that's where it went every Sunday.
Ceremonial parades commemorating events of the regiment, did they occur?
Well, very, very rare.
What might they be?
Well, maybe St. George's Day. We'd have a parade for that. And but the most ceremonial parades we had was once every month, and that was what is known as the CO's parade, where you said have the whole battalion on the square. And he used to come up on his horse, and everybody's on parade. Cooks, everybody. And we used to have that, and used to do the march around, and used to show the flag so everybody recognised it. And then we were dismissed. Well, we always finished around about dinner time, because it used to start about 10 o'clock in the morning. Finish about dinner time, and then the rest of the day was free. She got like a half day holiday.
Very high standard of turnout again.
Oh yes, you had to be really immaculate.
Did you have band and bugles with the CO?
Band and bugles, yes. The band and bugles were always on parade, ceremonial parade.
And of course, you were doing the light infantry pace.
We only did that, used to do the slow march, and then the ordinary marching pace, and then we should do they're called the 168 military march, and that was really quick. Yes, it was a very quick pace, that 160.
The training that you were getting, you said, was an extension of what you'd been doing at Fenham.
Yeah.
Were you also being introduced to a wider range of weaponry now that you're with the battalion?
Well, as far as the battalion was concerned, they didn't have such a great variation in... they had their Lewis guns, machine guns, of course they were First World War machine guns, the Maxim. And later on, there was the Bren gun and then brought in, you see.
Did you have any form of transport? There wasn't anything like a carrier or that kind of vehicle with you?
There was, I had the carriers, yes.
They were there at that time?
Well, we had a carrier platoon, a special platoon there, and all the men were trained in the use of carriers. They were the only track vehicle we had.
You were a rifleman in B Company?
Rifleman, yes.
What platoon, do you recall, platoon you were in?
No, we weren't numbered in the platoons. You were just in the company. Yeah.
How was the company organised and divided?
Well, it was divided like into platoons, but each section had a corporal. And that corporal was responsible for your behaviour, your turnout and everything, and for everything that you did.
Do you recall your corporal?
You had to call him corporal all the time.
What was his name?
Morrissey. Corporal Morrissey. He was a 2nd Battalion soldier.
What was he like?
Oh, he's good. He's very good with us. He's strict. And I used to really, really help everybody. Yes.
So you'd have a section with your corporal. Who was the next? What was the next rank above that? That was in your company.
The next rank above the corporal. Well, there was the drill corporal. That was a full corporal, and then you had your drill sergeant, and then you had your RSM when he used to have his parades. He used to have them. About once a month as well.
That would be battalion level?
Battalion level, yeah.
Who was the RSM when you were in Blackdown?
RSM Bush. He later became an officer. Yeah.
What was he like? What are your memories of him?
Oh, he's a nice fella, RSM Bush. He was a good fella. Yes, I think he got captured at Cousin as well, I think. Yeah.
The sergeants that were in your company, do you recall any of them?
Well, not very many of them. I knew most of the academy, you know, being with them, like you say.
Company commander, do you recall who he was?
A fellow called... Captain Battiscombe, that was his name, aye. And then Captain Ardern took over after he was promoted and went away somewhere else. Captain Ardern took over B Company.
And what were they at the pair of them?
Well, they were good officers. They were really good, aye. Strict, but they were good officers. They were fair.
But you were doing your base, well, extension of your training, and your weaponry was basically the same. What kind of training exactly was it beyond the normal drill training? Were you doing exercises and manoeuvres?
Oh, yes, we used to go out onto the heath, a place called Ash. And it was all common land, and we used to do mock battles on there, And it always finished up with firing a course, you know, coming down from 600 yards down to 200 yards. And then a bayonet charge. And that was your finish for the day. It had to be an hour because we were knackered.
Battle tactics that they were using with you, was it based on First World War experiences?
Yes, almost.
The line advancing?
Yes, yes. The train just continued from the First World War. It was, really. It was only later on that they got in these different methods.
Trenches? Were you digging trenches, learning how to dig trenches?
Oh, yes, we're digging trenches, yes.
Again on the First World War pattern?
On the First World War pattern, exactly, yeah. There wasn't much of that done already.
The people of Blackdown in that area, how did they receive you?
Well, they've been used to soldiers nearly all their lives because there's always been a camp there. And actually, I mean, the villages weren't... the camp was just outside of village life. But we used to socialise with them. We used to go along to the dances, the local dances and things like that. We were invited, to go along.
Was there a respect for the Durhams in the locality? Was
it your respect? Oh, yes. There was full respect for everybody. We used to respect them and they used to respect us for what we were. Yeah.
Lee from Blackdown, did you get any?
Yes. Once every 12 months. And we've got 14 days. 14 days. You got a pass. We should travel up on the bus and travel away from Blackdown, from the bus up to Durham. And you have your fortnight's leave. Of course, you got your rations. And you got your pay to last you over that fortnight. And a time of getting back and everything. You carry your pay book with you all the time, every time. You even slept with it. You had to have your pay book with you. When your 14 days was up, we used to go down to Elvet, near where the old station used to be. All gathered there again. The bus used to come in. I didn't know the name of the company, but I'm forgetting now. Galleys was the bus company at that time. And they used to take us straight away back down to the camp.
Your mother was not happy about you joining the forces, but now, of course, you were...
She was settling all about it then.
She'd settled down.
Because the family life had improved a lot. Because my brother was working, his sister was working, and everything was all changed when I came back. They were all getting jobs, and things had improved a lot.
Had you to make an allowance to your family out of your army pay?
Why, not really, no. Because we weren't getting all that much then. Two shilling a day, you couldn't make much of an allowance out of that, because at that time, as you know, we used to do all our cleaning up and everything. We had to go down to the Naffy, we had to buy Meppo, Blanco, everything that you needed for cleaning, shoe polish, brushes, things like that. And you used to pay for that out of your own money. And there'd been a window broke in the camp. Well, we all had to contribute towards that. And they kept a record of your pay. And they used to let you know, once a month, exactly how you stood, if you're in credit or if you're in debt.
How often was pay parade?
Once per week, on the Friday.
What was the process of going and getting, how was the parade organised?
Well, you formed up in a line, marched along to the pay office. The paymaster used to be sitting there, and you took your pay book out, You marched up to the desk, you saluted, and you put your pay book down. And he said, have a look to see how much you're entitled to. And he said, give you the one hand, the pay book, in the same hand, your money in. And you step back one pace, salute, smartly turn about, and march about down again and join the rank till everybody had been served. And then the whole lot was marched away. And then the next company would come up and the same procedure would take place again.
We talked about a little about guard duties at Fenham, and you say you were on guard duties, of course, at Blackdown. How was the guard formed?
Well, the guard, there was each morning there was a rota put up in the barrack room, and if your name was on there, Private A.D. Scatcherd for guard Wednesday evening. Right. Now, you were allowed, on the Wednesday afternoon, you were allowed 2 hours off other duties just prior to the going on guard to get cleaned up, get ready, and get yourself really smartened up for guard duty. Well, everything had to be done. You had to clean the buttons, back and front, your cap badge, back and front, your bayonet scabbard, rifle had to be made immaculate, and anything that nail polish had to be highly polished. And even if in them days the army boots used to have the studs in. Well, if you'd been out and you'd getting some dirt on your boots, you had to go out and scuffle the studs on the concrete outside to get them shining bright, and then carry them back in again. And of course, everything was they were really highly polished. You used to spend hours on cleaning them. And then when you did get ready, you used to go out, and the commander formed you up, and the six of you, then the bugle you down, and then the orderly officer for the day would come out, and he would inspect you. And if everything passed okay, then you used to march down and go down to where the guard was already, the old guard, what they called the day guard, was assembled, and you had to exchange duties with them. And they say, you know what, old guard dismiss and new guard take over. And then you used to go into the guard room, and then you're allocated 2 hours duty on and 4 hours off. And that went through till you finished the guard at 6 o'clock the following morning.
And you'd have to challenge people coming in and out?
You had to challenge anyone coming, approaching the guard room.
What was the challenge?
The challenge was, halt, who goes there, friend or foe? And if the answer wasn't coming, well, you just put one up the spout. Yeah, and because you had the 5 rounds, you put one up the spout and says, and if they made a rush for you, they had to halt it on fire. And if they halt it like, you know, I mean, we're never out in trouble, you know, like that. But used to be the only officer used to catch it out, try to catch it out somehow or in the night. Used to get up maybe about 3 o'clock in the morning, come along to the guard room and stand, and make a noise. And waiting for the sentry challenging them. And then when they did challenge them, he used to say, friend, orderly officer, step forward, be recognised. He used to step forward like, you know, at the full light and you recognise them. He used to salute them and he used to turn the guard out. And he used to inspect the guard again. And he used to march off and he knew he wouldn't be back no more that night.
So you had to challenge everyone, although you may know them and see them and recognise
them. Doesn't matter if you recognise them, or you had to challenge them. Yeah. Yes, anybody who came anywhere near, you had to challenge them.
And what time was the guard on from, what was the beginning of the guard?
Duties from 6 o'clock till 6 o'clock the following morning, 12 hours. And then there was a, you were leaved at 6 o'clock the following morning in the valley.
And that would be the same process as you'd gone on, the new guard coming in.
There was a new guard, there was a guard on 24 hours a day.
And did you get the rest of the following day off when you'd been up, you know, on guard all night?
Oh, no. You got the rest of that morning off, 12 o'clock. So if there was a route march on at 12 o'clock, well, your name was on, you're on that route march. Used to allow it till 12 o'clock. That was your lot.